I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been kind of moving and shaking every which way with the hockey locally. You got the Rangers, even when they lose, they win. And the Islanders actually win as they kick off their series here with the Washington Capitals. So let's talk some puck. She did a great job when we had her a couple weeks ago. So let's bring her back. Molly Walker, who maybe has another cover or two coming her way if the Islanders keep playing well. Ain't that right, Molly? How you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, we'll just have to see and wait and see here.
All right, Molly, let's get right to it. Islanders, as they start this series with the Capitals, all the storylines are front and center surrounding Barry Trotz. And you understand why. Barry Trotz won Stanley Cup with Ovechkin and all those boys a couple of years ago. And now he gets a chance to go up against his old team. Let's forget about game one for a minute. Let's just start before the series. Molly Walker's take, Molly Walker's thoughts. Did you like the Islanders to beat the Capitals here in this series?
I mean, I hate when you put me on the spot like this.
That's really what I do. That's why you come on the show. That's par for the course, Molly. That's the way it goes.
It really, they're both great teams, and they measure up really well. And they both had Barry Trotz at the helm. So I feel like before the series started, it really could have gone either way. It's a lot of variables for both teams. You know, you got to have Alex Ovechkin on every game and their power play on every game to win the way the Capitals win. For the Islanders, they need to keep their structure up, their systems intact, and play their pace to win the game. So it really could have gone either way. And today you really saw that in today's game.
Yeah, and I think it was really important for them, Molly, to get the first game here of this series, because they went through the qualifying round, so you would figure they'd be a little sharper. The Capitals are in a situation where, you know, I know they play in that round robin game, but, you know, it's not the same intensity. It's about the idea of trying to get, you know, the mind, the body, the spirit where it needs to be. Did you think it was really crucial for the Islanders, at least in these first two, to find a way to get at least one?
Definitely. I mean, even today, in my opinion, they did not play well enough to win, but they somehow found a way in the third period. They could not stay out of the penalty box to save their lives, and they gave Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals 7 man advantage opportunities. And going in, they said that was their game plan, was to keep the Capitals off the power play, and they went in and handed them 7 opportunities on the man advantage. So the fact that they did that and still managed to come out with a win, I feel like says a lot about the Islanders and the longevity of this team. So I definitely agree that they needed to take this first game, or maybe the first two, to believe in themselves that they have what it takes to outmatch such a powerful Capitals team.
Molly, I noticed the last series against Florida, the Islanders were as dominant as can be when they played 5-on-5 hockey, but staying out of the penalty box has been a problem for them. And again, you just hit on it a minute ago, it was a problem for them in game one. Is that your biggest concern as far as their chances of, dare I say, going and winning this series, just finding themselves committing way too many penalties?
I wouldn't say it's my concern, because they know that they did it. You know, speaking to them today, they know that it was an issue, and they know that they can't have that happen again, because I'm telling you right now, Alex Ovechkin is not going to have another game without a goal going forward. I can promise you that. I would be shocked if they kept him off the board going forward. So I feel like they need to stick to what makes them good. And like you said, that's 5-on-5 play. 5-on-5 play has carried them through this 2020 playoffs here. And even when they were doing well in the regular season, you know, that's where they shine. And it is so important for them to stay out of the penalty box. But I mean, I feel like today was just, you know, it was their first taste of one another, and you know, they had such a competitive regular season series. Both teams had two wins. So I just feel like there was a lot of pent-up energy, and the Islanders didn't really know what to do with themselves, and they were finishing their checks and their hits more than they were worried about finishing the play. And that just kind of stopped in the third period. Thankfully, after Jordan Eberle's goal late in the second period, they kind of got pulled back down to earth and realized that they needed to put the puck in the net if they were going to take game one.
Molly, aside from, you know, staying out of the penalty box, what in your opinion is the biggest key for the Islanders? What do they need to do in your eyes if they're going to get past Washington? If there's like one particular element you're looking at, what would it be?
The top line. Lee, Barzal, they need to come up big. Right now, so far through the Florida play-in series and even game one today, it's been the middle six forwards. It's been Beauvillier, it's been Pageau. You know, those are the guys that are coming in big. Brock Nelson even is having, I think, a tremendous 2020 playoffs. So the middle six are really carrying the team right now, and I feel like the first line, if they can just make it work and put it together and, you know, get on a roll here, that's what's really going to differentiate them from the Capitals, because if they have all four of those lines rolling like they can get them to be sometimes, especially if you get Barzal and Lee going, that's just going to make the world a difference for them. So it's really going to be on the first line to kind of step up here.
Molly Walker, New York Post. She is like the new New York queen of hockey, basically, here, there, and everywhere, getting us ready for the Islanders and the Capitals. And let's get to the Rangers now for a minute, Molly. Before we get to their big win, and it was a big win, shocking everybody and winning the lottery and becoming a team that like had everybody's head spinning across the NHL. And it was like social media broke for like 10 or 5, you know, whatever the time was at the time. I don't even know, for goodness sakes. Let's get to this series, though, with Carolina. How disappointed were you with their overall level of performance? We know they had a great season. We know they were playing with house money. Were you surprised with the ease Carolina went and won that series?
It was hard to be disappointed because of how well Carolina played, I feel. Like, they came in absolutely guns a-blazing. I said, from the moment that Brady Shea laid that hit on Jesper Foss in game one, I knew that it was on. Brady Shea had an extra edge to his game. The whole team, the whole Carolina Hurricanes team, just had that little oomph and that little step up, and that comes from experience and from knowing the brand of playoff hockey. You know, I feel like half of the Rangers team has never played in a postseason game in their entire lives. So they came out against the Carolina Hurricanes, and they didn't even know what hit them. It was a completely different brand and style of hockey that I feel like you need to experience before you go into a type of series like that. And one exhibition game was definitely not enough, especially against a team like the Islanders, because they're so familiar with them. It just wasn't enough to get them in that playoff atmosphere and playoff mode. And it was hard to be disappointed because, again, just how much better the Carolina Hurricanes was. And in that case, you just got to tip your hat to the other team. And, you know, they were better.
For the offseason, and we'll get to this lottery pick in a minute, what, in your eyes, is like the one thing the Rangers need to improve upon? Is it that level of defense where, you know, you go back to when the Rangers were, you know, competing with the Lundqvist teams, they had McDonough. You've seen that top team year after year. It feels like defensemen are always a key, always a must. Is that where JD and this front office really got to go to work?
You know, you could focus a lot on defense, but I feel like they just, you know, I mean, it might have been solved for them with this number one overall pick, but they need a pure goal scorer. They need another Artemi Panarin. They need another, you know, big goal scoring guy in their depth to just take them to the next level. But I also just think it's all about the reps that this team needs. They just need more time together, more time to figure each other out, to get more familiar with one another. You know, throwing them into this 2020 playoffs, you know, they had barely 2 weeks of training camp, one exhibition game, and then boom, you're you know, it's live or free die hockey. And, you know, you just don't even know how to put yourself in there when you've never been there before. So I feel like the reps that they got in the playoffs this year and the reps that they got just together as a team all together will really help going forward. And I'm very excited to see what kind of product they can put on the ice in 2021.
clearly they're building for the future. They have such a great foundation. But it feels like that rebuild just got accelerated another notch by ending up getting with the, you know, the first pick in the draft. Now, Molly, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know much about this kid. All I know is that people rave about him and that I need to, I guess, work on my French a little bit. You know, like I'm going to have to, you're going to have to, like, give me the tutorial and the enunciation of how I can get Lefrenier. We'll have to work on that a little bit. But, Molly, from what you know and from
you
what
you sound
you've
like
heard,
a real American when you say
yeah,
that.
I know. I mean, listen, right now, the French Canadians out there listening to me would be absolutely ashamed. But what about this young man and what about his talent has, like, all of these NHL people, like, drooling and oozing the possibilities now that he's going to be a New York Ranger?
I mean, just what I just said, he is a pure goal scorer with a high hockey IQ. That's what he's known for. He is known for being a very smart and brilliant goal scorer. And that's exactly what the Rangers need. I mean, you could ask my mother, my poor mother, huge Ranger fan, has been calling for it for years. She just wants a player that can consistently put the puck in the back of the net no matter night in and night out. And that's what the Rangers need. I mean, they totally got it a little bit in Artemi Panarin, and he was everything he was expected to be and more. But you need one more. You know, Mika Zibanejad can be spotty. Chris Kreider can be spotty. You need another Artemi Panarin. You need another pure goal scorer. And that's what Lafreniere sounds like he is. He led the QMJHL with 112 points in 52 games in a coronavirus-shortened season. He was Canadian Hockey Player of the Year for the second straight season, joining Sidney Crosby as the only player to win the award twice. And Sidney Crosby is the guy that he's always compared to, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that's not a bad guy to draw a lot of comparisons
to. Well, I was
to.
Just going
to
ask you that. I was just going to say, who is the young player compared to, you know, from, you know, a Crosby, a McDavid, a Patrick Kane, that sort of sense. Molly, if you're telling me he's going to be that sort of difference maker, I mean, the Rangers now for like the next 3 to 5 years, Molly, they're going to be loaded.
That's the type of comparison that they're making is to Sidney Crosby. And I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to watch him and play in a person yet. I've only watched video and such, but they're saying that he is a Sidney Crosby type sniping goal scorer. And you know, if that's the case, then, you know, the Rangers are going to welcome him with open arms because I truly feel like that is a huge piece of their puzzle that they're missing.
Molly Walker of the New York Post. Okay, Molly, how much of the 5-overtime marathon? That gave me some flashbacks to being at the Garden for Syracuse and UConn, and I'm a Syracuse guy, so that was a pretty special moment for me. But how much of that 5-overtime game did you get to indulge in?
I will say I watched the entire thing, like the true hockey fan that I
am. Whoa, that's – see, Molly, here's all you need to know. I was getting off the golf course, and the third period was going on. And the minute I found out the game was going overtime, I'm like, wow, this is great. I mean, the Yankees are on, the Mets are on, and, you know, a little playoff overtime hockey. There's nothing wrong with that. Then you look up an hour, hour and a half later, and it's like, holy smokes, this game's going into fourth overtime, for goodness sakes. Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely nuts. And I mean, I found it really funny. It struck up a whole debate about whether or not, you know, the NHL should continue doing 5-on-5 and unlimited overtimes in the playoffs. And
oh, Molly, of course like, they should. Hold on a second.
Yeah,
there
of course.
You're a true blue hockey fan, as we know, and it's your wife's work and it's what you do. I can't imagine a legit diehard hockey fan with the way playoff hockey is, you know, it's so intense. One mistake loses you the game. This like crazy war of attrition. You're telling me that there are some like legit hockey fans who want to change the overtime in the playoffs? Come on now.
Yeah, right. I know. I think it's absolutely blasphemy, but a lot of people were calling for shootouts or 4-on-4, 3-on-3. And I will say, I'm a huge fan of 3-on-3. I love fan of 3-on-3. I think it's great hockey. It's great entertainment. I think it's great for ratings. I think it's just honestly more fun to watch. And watching Artemi Panarin in 3-on-3 overtime hockey is an absolute vision. So I'm all for 3-on-3 hockey, but you can't just go right into a modified overtime. You know, you need to just keep playing in the playoffs. I feel like especially in this 2020 playoffs, it's so different, and they just need to stick to their guns and stick to their traditions. And if it's going to go to five overtime, so be it. You know, everybody just to hang on and enjoy the ride.
Amen to that. All right, Molly, before we get you out of here, I'm putting you on the spot one last time. So mentally prepare yourself. Do the Islanders get past the Washington Capitals?
I need to see much better play from them in the next game or two, but I feel like if they played the kind of game that they did today and they were still able to come out 1-0 in the series, then they should have enough in them to make it past the Capitals altogether. So that's my take.
There you go. So listen, you handled the hot seat. That's the way it goes, Molly. And next time, Molly, you're going to have to quiz me on my French pronunciations. Obviously, I think we're giving myself like a C or a C-. The next time I have you on, we got to get it to like, you know, a B+, A-. That's what we need to be.
I'll do my best to tutor you.
That's what I want to hear. Molly, appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks for the time. Keep up the good work, all right?
Of course. Thanks for having me on, JJ.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.